Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Joe Burke joins us today. He's the Chief Communications Officer for the Fort Mill School District, and he's just had a few things to deal with here the last couple of months.
It's been a little busy.
Have you ever? Before I get started, you got to tell everybody a little bit about Joe Burke, because we haven't had you on here before.
Sure. I am originally from South Carolina. I was born in Sumter, raised in Columbia. I went to school here in elementary through 12th, and then graduated college at Newberry College. Worked in media production and news for the first part of my career before transitioning over into education. And I've been in education now for close to 15 years. So, and in Fort Mill for the past three of those.
South Carolina born and bred.
Yes, yes.
How about that? And you were telling me off air that your major in college was psychology, and you had to do what?
Well, my dad's actually was psychology, and he got into video production, but that leads directly into me in college. He ended up being an adjunct professor in two of the 400-level courses in my major that I had to take to graduate and pass, and they were 3-hour classes, 6 to 9 at night on Tuesdays, and it was the only class I had perfect attendance in when I was in college, so never missed a single one of those.
Was he tough on your grading?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing slid through on that one, that's for sure, and he made sure to let the class know that there would not be any exceptions made for me.
So before we start talking about all these changes, is 2020 the year that Fort Mill School District becomes the largest school district in York County?
We're not sure yet. We're still waiting to see what the numbers will be when we get back into school in August, and those numbers will fluctuate a little bit. Usually about 45 days in, we have a pretty decent idea, but at the end of last year, we were close to the size of Rock Hill School District. We're between the 17,000 and 18,000 student range, so we'll have to see depending on their growth this year and our growth and where everything falls out at, but we're pretty close to the same size, if not just under or just over.
Related to that was an observation made by the governor weeks ago that during this pandemic, we've lost track statewide with a lot of students, some 10,000 students. And I keep hearing the number up here in York County is, I don't know, 500 or 600. As far as the Fort Mill School District?
Well, I'll say that our teachers and our administrators put a lot of work into the end of last year and getting caught up with our kids and making sure we kept contact. And we were able to keep that number very low. At one point, it was at 16, and I believe the last time I checked, it was down to 8. Now, a lot of that or some of that may be due, and this is goes for any district, may be due to students who move in or out of the district during the year, because once they move out of the district's not necessarily always notified that they have left. So we oftentimes don't find out until we get requests for records from other school districts where they've ended up at or even other states. But I will say our teachers and our administrators did a wonderful job of trying to maintain contact with our kids and keeping up with them, and we were able to keep those numbers down in our district.
8 students out of what, 18,000?
Yeah, just between students 17 and 18 at the end of the year.
That's amazing.
Yes, yeah, and they did a great job.
Good job. All right, so your life and everybody else's life across the world, or at least here in the good old U.S. of A., changed in early March when well, how much advance notice did you get that, hey, you need to tell everybody, don't come to school?
We really didn't get a lot. It was going to be basically a, hey, you're in school today, but we're not coming back on Monday. And that's kind of where it ended at for us. Now, we did get a little bit of a heads up when the State Department asked all districts to start creating some type of e-learning plan. But literally that was less than 2 weeks before we were out of school. So, again, I have to credit our teachers, our admin staff at each school, as well as the district office, that they quickly acted and put together an educational plan to get us through the end of last year. Was it perfect? No, but it was what we could put together and pull together to create something that was going to be good for our students to continue learning.
That's one of the things that I think is most amazing about this story, is all the school districts across the state of South Carolina, including Fort Mill School District, they leave school on a Friday, and they're expected to be providing an online education within a matter of whatever, 72 hours.
Well, let me give you a perspective on that. Prior to that happening, our district was just in the pilot stages of creating a virtual makeup day for weather, and they'd only approved it for a handful of districts across the state, and they were still piloting it. And you know, that's where we were at with e-learning as a whole in our state at the time. Now, we did have some programs like Virtual SC, and some of the districts already had virtual programs for certain students. But, I mean, we literally overnight had to create an educational system for all students that would be from a distance or through e-learning.
Okay, take me through this. I'm Mr. Smith, and I've been teaching in the Fort Mill School District for 10 years. And I've been teaching, let's say, history, all right? And we've been using a textbook and a smart board and some computers to go online and look at stuff. How did Mr. Smith convert this to an online course?
What we did in a lot of the cases was we pulled resources. So we asked grade levels across the district to create plans for their students in their subject areas, and then we pulled them together for everybody to use. So that was when we did it at the lower grades. At the upper grades for our high schools, some of the specialized classes like a geography or world history, something like that, they were able to pull a lot of the resources from our discovery partnership that we already had going as part of a STEAM district. They were able to create things that they already had in their lesson plans and then transition them over to either being a form or something that was sent home to a student, or if it was an online lesson they were able to pull. We saw a lot of unique thoughts by our teachers where they quickly latched on to streaming software or got in touch with their students through the Google Classroom that the district uses. So there were a lot of transitions that had to be made, and it didn't happen smoothly at first. I'll say that. It was kind of a process that led into it, but I think by the end our teachers had started to really get a swing for it and provide a good education to our kids.
So were most of these classes what I would call pre-recorded, or were they live, or how did they do it?
We saw a mix of a lot of different things. Depending on what teachers had available and what their comfort level was, we saw some live meetings with teachers and students in classes. We saw pre-recorded lessons that were done. We saw PowerPoints that were sent out. We saw digital documents being shared, PDF form. So really it ran the whole gamut. I mean, they used every tool and trick of the trade that they could find to put that together.
And all the students in the Fort Mill School District, they all have computers? I mean, you provide them all computers?
No, we don't. We're not one-to-one in our district. That's an initiative we've been working on. Our middle schools are one-to-one, but they're not take-home. So when they left on that Friday, they didn't have a device taken home with them. So what we did was we started messaging immediately to our parents to find out who did not have access or who did not have devices, and that's where the paper packets you've heard of came from. So we generated all the materials that they would need for each two-week block that we did, and we held pickup days for them to come get them. Now we're looking at doing some different things with that this coming year as far as internet access, but from the March time frame, we did create paper form for anybody who couldn't get online.
So let's talk about that, because we're going to be going back to school here sometime.
Yes.
I'm confused on the scheduling, but sometime in September, we're going to be going back to school.
Yep.
Is your plan between now and then to, I guess, take some of your CARES dollars that have come in and make sure that we've got computer connections for all the students?
Well, so what we've seen over the summertime is, given more than a little under 2 weeks to plan, we actually can put together some really positive and good initiatives for everybody. So we've had a couple of things that have happened. We've had the creation of the Fort Mill Virtual Academy, which is going to be a virtual school program for all student grade levels that'll be more akin to what you've seen at a virtual SC. It won't be what happened at the end of last year. It's a structured course program that will happen for students that'll include a lot of those things you mentioned about live instruction, pre-recorded videos, stuff like that. And that was a choice option we gave to parents for them to sign up for. And along with that, going to the families that don't have internet access or devices or something like that, the district has also worked out a plan for having a request process where we're going to have people that will request a device or can request one of some of our hotspots that we use some of the CARES Act funds to purchase so that they can have internet access at their home. You know, that's been a big thing that's been going on. We've also heard the State Department of Education is going to be funding some of the programs for hotspots as well, too. So there's a lot of new stuff that's going to be involved in this year that will make what they saw in March completely obsolete.
So when it comes to CARES Act money, ballpark, how much has the Fort Mill School District been able to get?
I think we got around $630,000.
Right. And you're using that for this and everything else associated with this virus.
Yes, that got split up between technology that we just talked about. It got used for some of our cleaning services that we're going to be due, some of the things that we've got pulled in, like the plastic shielding that's coming in for the elementary schools. So we stretched that money as absolutely far as we can stretch it. And it was assigned to districts based on the Title I status, so our district did not receive as much as some other districts have received, but we're going to use every penny of it in the best way possible to increase the health and safety of our students coming back to school.
So this morning on Palmetto Mornings, we threw out some numbers that really kind of shocked me. Mecklenburg County has reported that they have about 36% of their student body, over 50,000 students, have opted to do 100% virtual learning. And then Michael Frost, your counterpart at the Rock Hill School District, said they've had a pretty robust number as well, somewhere in excess of 5,000, about a third of their student body. What are you seeing in Fort Mill?
Well, we just closed the second registration window we had this past Friday, so we're crunching the numbers now and getting all the registrations lined up, but we're pretty close to in line to what the other districts are seeing. I think we're going to be right in that same range that Rock Hill's in those numbers that you just mentioned. Probably about a third of the population is going to be in the virtual academy. We'll have more information on that once we get done with that and we can start assigning out teachers and the AB schedules for those are going to be in person. But yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to be right in that same range. We did see a very robust sign up for that too.
You know, I wonder, and this is at all grade levels? I mean, from through 12?
Yeah, the all grade levels.
I wonder how much of that is driven by the parents and how much is driven by the students.
It's probably... I would say at the younger grades, it's definitely going to be driven by the parents.
Sure.
But when you get into the older grades, I mean, a lot of our high school students are very comfortable with virtual classes. Some of them have already been taking them at different times, whether it's getting ready for college or if they needed to pick up some extra courses in the summer through the virtual SC program. So we do find the older kids are a little more used to it, and to them it's maybe not as big an issue to switch to virtual. But you know, it is a transition, especially for our younger students. But I do believe that we have a lot of parents that are either dealing with health issues with their child or their own personal health issues or someone in their family that just feel that's the better option to maybe keep their kid at home.
So within the hallowed halls of the Fort Mill School District, particularly in the administration building, do you think that maybe you've opened up the gate and the horse is now getting out of the corral in terms of, what are we doing here? We may not be able to reverse this.
Well, and then, you know, we will evaluate the program beyond this year. Once it's not needed under the pandemic concerns, we'll continue to evaluate it. And I would be, you know, very open to saying that there's a possibility there will be a virtual academy moving forward in our district. Whether that would be for all grades or it might get limited to certain grades, maybe middle and up or just high school in the future, we're unsure. But we're going to continue to monitor it, see the success of it, and see get the feedback at the end of the year about how parents and students have liked it, what they think worked and didn't. And we will probably consider it for use in the future.
Boy, I would think there'd be a lot of pieces of that puzzle, because there's more in school than just, you know, the ABCs.
Sure.
It's
yep.
learning to get along with other kids and participating in activities. And, you know, pulling all that out is tough, because once you're in this virtual academy, you're in it, right?
Well, for our elementary and middle school, yes, it's a year commitment because, you know, having to transition teachers back. For our high school, it's going to be a semester commitment because the way their schedules worked out, that's a little easier to do. So, yes, but also, too, the extracurricular side of it. Technically, even if you're in the virtual program, you can still participate in the extracurricular activities, just as you would if you were if we were not under the pandemic. So that is an option. Now, a lot of the students who choose that probably don't want to go participate in group activities, but it will still be open to them. You won't be denied anything just because you chose to be in a virtual program.
So if I heard you right, if I sign up for virtual, I'm in it through first semester. If I decide I want to flip, The next semester I can do that?
If you're in high school, you'll have that option. Yeah. Elementary and middle, we did have to do the year commitment because of the way of having to assign teachers, and their schedules don't work like high school, so they don't change classes mid-year at a specific date. Their curriculum is all the way through. So in order to assign teachers for it, to be able to accommodate both the in-person and the virtual side, those two levels had to stay for a year commitment.
I wish Chuck Epps was here right now, because I know one question that I'm going to throw at you he would love to hear. And that is, you know, Fort Mill has been building a new school every year. Every year.
Yep.
And it's hard for you to keep up the pace, even doing one every year.
Yes.
So when you now have about a third of your students saying, yeah, we don't need the school building, we'll just stay at home, that has got to put a smile on somebody's face.
Well, it does and it doesn't. So the thing you have to consider with the virtual program is that the students are coming from all schools. So, you know, you may have one school that might have 100 kids here, another school that may only have 40 kids there, and another school that may have 300 kids. So it all depends on where they're pulled out of. And that's what makes it a little bit tougher, too, with the teacher aspect of it and opening schools. So all of our buildings are going to have students in them, and they're all still going to be, you know, fairly full, you know, by capacity standards. So unfortunately, that doesn't really impact our growth very much with having the virtual academy, because we still have a lot of kids in the buildings.
But long term, mm-hmm. if you had whatever it is, 6,000 students mm-hmm. district wide who opt to take education at home on a permanent basis, you know, on a long term basis, surely you can shuffle students around so that it may not be a community school so much like we have now, but you can bus kids around and fill the buildings and not have to build anything.
Sure, yeah, you definitely could look at that in the future as far as doing a redistricting and or rezoning and moving kids around. The other issue with that is, though, is we're still growing by that 1,000 kids a year. So so we're still seeing those other kids coming in every year, and not all of the 1,000 is going to continue to fill at the same rate we have for virtual. Plus, I truly believe that once we are able to work past the pandemic in the community side of it, we're going to see a very large number of those kids be returning to school, even if a virtual option was still available.
So maybe we bought ourselves a little bit of time.
Yeah.
We don't need to put a shovel in the ground this year, but maybe.
Yep. No, and right now we are currently, we have the two elementaries that will be opening this year, one at the start of school in August, and the other one will be opening in January because we got a little behind with weather. And then we have the middle school project that is coming close to completion, which will open next school year. And then at that point, we're done building until we look at a future bond referendum and future needs and all that stuff. So right now, we don't have any projects that are slated to start at this time. So we may have to readjust and see where this may buy time for.
All right. With all that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Joe, we're going to break you in now. We know we're here at Substation 2. I know you used to eat at Substation 2 when you lived in Columbia, so you know how good the food is.
Yes, right? It is.
7 days a week, fresh subs and salads. The magical way we do it here in Rock Hill is spelled out in the cue card, and we're all going to do it together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden,
garden, garden, garden. There we go. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
Need extra cash? Relax. Founders has personal loans for all needs. Whether you're knocking off items from your quarantine home renovation list or consolidating existing debt, there's a loan for you. Our flexible loan options offer low rates to give you the confidence you need. Visit Relax, join Founders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop. Joe Burke is with us, Chief Communications Officer for the Fortin Hill School District. And boy, if they ever needed a communications person, it is now, because there's so much to get through. Okay. School's about to start. Well, 6 weeks, let's say. And the whole thing is, I call it physical distancing, not social distancing, because I was told by somebody in mental health, we don't need to be socially distanced from people because that's bad for us. We need to be physically distanced. We need to stay in touch with people.
Yes,
so I've always stayed in my head. So with that being said, you have the physical distancing issues for the classrooms. Mm-hmm. You have the physical distancing issues for the buses. How, take me through these one by one and how we're doing this.
Sure. We can start with transportation. The State Department did order reduced size of capacity on buses, which is obviously going to be a challenge. Because if you think about it, if you have a normal bus that's going to seat 80 kids and you're going to cut that in half to 40, that's going to make you have to increase the number of routes and try to get things together. So that's a big challenge for us. Now, we're hoping that with the larger virtual academy enrollment and possibly parents deciding they want to transport their own child, we're going to see our normal ridership numbers go down. And we also did a bus registration form that we hope people will fill out by tomorrow so that we can track the number of kids who are planning to ride the bus and allow our transportation groups to create those routes. But that's a tough challenge. So what they're going to be doing on the bus is you're going to have empty seat behind the driver, one student in that next seat, two in the next seat, one, two, all the way back to the bus is filled up. So
no empty seats?
Just the empty seat will be the one behind the driver. And then they're going to have seats that will have one student in it, followed by a seat that has two students in it, because generally those seats are designed for three kids, so you'll be able to sit apart.
So we're not worried about 6 feet?
Not on the buses. There's no way to do 6 feet on the bus. You'd end up with 10 kids on there for each route.
That's exactly right.
So the Sacramento Department of Education released their guidelines. They're also requiring masks on the bus for driver and students. That was announced by them as well, so that's another part of it. And that's getting the kids to school. So that's one part. The other part is when we get them there, how we are going to get through the day. So
I can't imagine. I mean,
it's been interesting. Like, we've had lots of meetings and discussions and gone back and forth on how the best options are and trying to put things together. It's tough.
I mean, just the hallways.
Yes.
When the bell rings and we go from one classroom to another.
Yeah.
Or is that going to stop?
No, well, it will stop to a certain extent. So elementary has one section of a plan, so they're going to return to a full 5-day face-to-face option.
Right.
And what we're doing with them is called the family model. So we've seen from several of our doctors' organizations that, you know, students are a little lower affected by COVID-19, so we're going to go with the family model with them. Kids will come into the classroom. They will stay in the classroom with their class for the day. So they'll eat lunch in the classroom. They'll have all their related arts classes brought to them. They will go outside for recess. There will be recess periods that will be scheduled so that we can keep everybody separate as much as possible.
Are we going to allow them to play like they normally do?
They'll be able to go out and play. And we're planning on cleaning, you know, equipment that's used after each use, that kind of stuff. So it will not be it won't be the normal recess. You won't have, you know, 20 classes out there at one time playing and stuff like that. It'll be a little more scaled back, but there will still be recess. I know that's been a big question by a lot of our parents. And then in the classroom, while we are requiring masks for all students K through 12, in the elementary classrooms, we're going to have the plastic shielding that will be separated on the desks to allow them to be able to take their mask off while they're sitting at their desk. And then if they have to go work in a group option, they'll put it back on. And, of course, while they're eating and stuff, too, we know they'll be taking them off. So we're trying to do best we can there to limit any spread throughout the school if there happened to be a case, as well as, you know, provide all the safety options possible.
So you're telling me if I'm in high school, I'm going to pull up to my desk, and there's now going to be a shield.
Elementary school.
Elementary
school. And that's because they're coming back in the family model. So there will technically be more kids there than would be at the middle or high school size classes.
Well, the teachers wear the what I call the welders.
They'll have multiple options. We are going to be providing the cloth type face mask, which is what you see a lot of people wearing. We also are providing a shield.
Clear
mask.
Shields.
Yeah, the clear shield, so the kids can see them and see their face. Yeah. And that'll be a teacher choice. They can choose which one they want to wear.
All right, take me through what are we going to do in middle school and high school?
Yeah, so middle and high school are going to be working on an AB model. So that would mean in our district, AB model is going to be every other day your child will come to school. So half of the class will attend on a Monday and the other half will attend on Tuesday and so on down the week. We went with that model as opposed to just 2 days a week or 3 days a week permanently for kids like you've seen other districts, because we want to increase that in-person instruction time and get as many days as we can. So,
sure.
Because that's highly needed. I mean, having kids in school is what we're here to do. And we believe that model is going to give it. So when they come into class, they're going to be coming into a much lower class size that will allow for more distancing. So we don't have the shields at the middle and high level at this time. We are doing the masks middle and high as well, too. But they'll still change classes, but we will limit as much of that as we can here and there. But their schedules do pretty much require that there is some changing of classes going on. So we're hoping the smaller numbers will also help keep any spread down if a case were to happen, and we have protocols for all of that if we do find out about one.
I was going to say, what is the what if? I mean, you open up one of these schools and, you know, I don't know, week into it, you find a couple of the kids have tested positive for the virus.
Yeah. Well, first off, before we get to that point, we're hoping that all of our parents are going to follow what we've got out in our guide. They're going to be doing their daily checks of their students for any symptoms, anything like that, or honestly, truthfully, any illness at this point. We would prefer if your child is sick, please keep them home. If they've got the runny nose, if they've got the normal illnesses that we have, please keep them home. And, of course, we want them to do the daily checks for any of the COVID-related symptoms before they bring their students into school.
So will you be testing the kids for the old temperature thing?
We will not be doing the testing. We're going to be doing, like I said, we're going to be doing that through the parents just for, you know, the time it would take to get the kids in to the schools if we were doing it one at a time as they walk through the door. So that's something we're asking our parents to help us out with.
So your website has got all this in chapter and verse.
Yes, there is a return to school guide that's there that actually gives you a flow chart on what would happen if you have a positive case or if you have been around somebody who has a positive case. In the return to school guide, there's some great information in there on how we would deal with that. Obviously, if we get to a point where we have a classroom-sized outbreak or, God forbid, a school-sized outbreak, we're working closely with DHEC on what we would do as far as shutting down a school or shutting down the district.
Very quickly, about 15 seconds left, what about approval, your plan?
Yes, we plan to have we hope to have ours approved hopefully by the end of the week. We've heard from the superintendent's office they're getting through all the plans as quick as they can. They released some yesterday, and we're hoping ours is going to be done either by the end of this week or first part of next week.
You know, always tell this guy's been in media. He knows when the queue is and how to get out. Joe, thank you very much for being with us. Hope we get you back again soon. And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Joe, you're going to have to fight Scott Olive over here because he likes to do the queue over here, you know.
Okay.
Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. He doesn't even need to look at it, and he's an optometrist, right? All right, at the count of three, one, two, three. Slice.
Garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.